Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our healing day of prayer, and we invite you to join us, to call in, and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Good afternoon. Welcome to In a Sign Catholic Radio. This is Grace Marquet, and as always, I'm delighted to be with you today. This is our Friday day of prayer, a day when I invite you to call in with your prayer intentions. And what better time than in this beautiful season of Advent, a holy, festive, hopeful time of year. We are preparing for the greatest happening of all time, and we are getting close. We will soon be celebrating that glorious day, Christmas morning, when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came upon this earth. The people back then waited for centuries for this king to come. Now just think of this scenario. If I asked you, what follows the coming of a long-awaited king? You might say, well, he must have come with a parade of dignitaries wearing lush and regal clothing. I could just see that gold crown on the king's head. Surely there had to be a huge crowd cheering on the side of the road. I could see them waving flags from all nations to welcome the king. And some of you may say, of course the media had to come from all over the world to take the first photos of this momentous occasion. Now, isn't that what happens when a king arrives? Well, none of that happened here. Why? Who was this king? The king was a baby. He slept in a manger that feeds animals. He was lying on a bed of hay. And you might be wondering, well, who was with this baby? His mother and father and some poor shepherds from the field who came with their sheep. And three wise men came a long distance on camels. Well, how did they find this king? They followed a star. A star? Oh, this is some story, isn't it? Did anyone announce the coming of this baby king? Oh, yes. Yes, they did. Angels, multitudes and multitudes of angels, singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of good will. Now that is saying something. Well, is anything written about that? I mean, in Scripture, Luke chapter 2, and here's what it says. And when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman. The angel Gabriel said to the woman, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of David his father, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Mary says, well, how can this be? I know not man. "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. And the child to be born of you shall be called the Son of God." Mary says, "I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to thy word." And the angel Gabriel departs. Mary says, yes, her fiat, and the fruit of God's promise is born on Christmas Day. That first Christmas, the coming of our King, Jesus Christ. How exciting is that? This baby was not only a king, he was our Savior. He came here to save me and to save you and to open the gates of heaven that were closed, because he wanted us to be there with him in his kingdom. Now that is a king. Through this baby Jesus lies our salvation. My friends, during our program today, we are going to go to our little baby king, Jesus Christ, to intercede for all of your prayer intentions. He is waiting for you like an eager child. Now, we're going to begin with prayer, as we always do, and we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we are always so blessed when we think, ponder, the night you were born. The thought of all that went on in that stable captivates us. We are in awe. Thank you for coming to us, not only as our King, but as our Savior. We want your story that happened so far away from us that special night to be with us as part of our Christmas celebration. We want the moment of your birth visible in our homes. So we place the Nativity, the creche, in a special place, Lord, under the tree, on a special table, where we and all who visit can see and honor Mary, your mother, holding you and gently placing you to rest in the manger, where we can see and honor Joseph, your protector and adoring father, and where we can see you, Jesus, in a manger, loving us and wanting our love in return. And in our little nativity, we place the little animals around you, the sheep, the lambs, the donkey. Oh, they love the thought that they're keeping you, our baby king, warm. And we place the shepherds there. What an honor you gave the shepherds, for them to not only be there on that night of all nights, but to one day call yourself the Good Shepherd. We see camels proudly resting after carrying the wise men from afar. Those wise men bow before you and worship their little king. That is too much for us to take in. They even remembered to bring gifts to you. And lastly, Lord, we can't take our eyes off of your precious angels. Lord, how gloriously they sang to proclaim your coming to the whole world. Truly a scenario fit for a king, nestled in my home. Thank you, Jesus. I will visit my little nativity every day with my joys and even with my sorrows, because sometimes this can be a rough time of year. But you know that, Lord. You welcome us because you are waiting to be our healing presence. And with your tiny hands, you lift them up from your crib and touch our wounds. Thank you, Lord. Bethlehem has come to my home. Amen. So today, my friends, we have a special program for you, focused, centered on our baby Jesus, our baby infant king, praying for your intentions. I'm going to give you our telephone numbers now. 610-527-2906, 888-343-2484. That's 610-527-2906, 888-343-2484. Now, we do have some prayer intentions here, and I'm going to ask you, our faithful listeners, as I always do, to pray along with us. Let's see here. Pray for these intentions. Remember, your prayers are so important, along with the prayers of the angels, our beautiful saints, and the holy souls. We ask their prayers for us as we pray for them. And then as we continue on, I'm going to share with you a little more about our baby infant king. So here is some prayer requests. We pray for the repose of the soul of Kim Pettiprin, who passed away on Saturday. Kim is a friend of In His Sign Network. Her funeral is being held today, and some of our staff here from the network are there attending her funeral. And we pray for Kim. We pray for her family. We pray eternal rest. Grant unto her, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon her. May her soul and the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. We pray for Betsy. Betsy has lung cancer. We pray, Lord, the breath of Christ. We pray your breath to breathe through Betsy. Cleanse anything that is not of you out of her, especially her cancer. Restore her to wholeness, Lord. Give her peace and let her rest in you and in your love for her. You haven't forgotten her, Lord. You know what's there, what's going on, and you are with her, Lord. We pray here. There are a few names, and it looks like there isn't any specific illness, but that's okay. Jesus knows what they are. So I will pray here for the McNeil family. A family member is hospitalized. Kevin is having surgery. Colleen and Mary Ann for medical reasons. So, Lord, you are the divine physician, and you know exactly what they need. The McNeil family with that family member who's hospitalized. We pray for Kevin's surgery, that you be the surgeon, Lord, that your hands take over from that doctor. And the medical reasons for Colleen and Marianne. Again, you know what they are, and you know what is best for them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And we have here, let's see, we have a, this is wonderful. We have, I said we were going to have updates on our prayers, and we have an update on Lily. Do you remember Lily Manning? We continue to pray for Lily. If you recall, Lily is 17 years old. She had a rare tumor the size of an apple on her pancreas. She was in a lot of pain with morphine every 4 hours. But the doctors didn't want to operate because they did not know what was causing her cancer. They didn't want to open her up for surgery because the disease might spread. And she did come home. She resumed school, still on meds, but not always successful. Now, this tumor did shrink to the size of a golf ball. And finally, the doctors did surgery. They did surgery, and she is home now after a long surgery. It says here she is in some pain. She's waiting the biopsy. She's waiting the diagnosis of exactly what they found. But thank God, that ordeal of even going through the surgery is finally over. Lord, we pray for a complete healing for this child. Lily, we are with you. Me, this whole listening audience, they know your story. When I first heard about Lily, my heart just, I just felt such pain in my heart for her. We went to the infant of Prague, the little infant, for her healing. And that is so beautiful because we're starting to see some results here. And Lily, we're going to keep praying for you. We're going to carry this through right to the end. We're going to keep praying for you. This is so beautiful. So beautiful. We have, Mary Gallagher has, there are three young people here. Three young people. The names here are Lily, another Lily, not the same Lily. Lily, Brianna, and a third child. There is no name here for the third child. They have leukemia, and one of the child's medications costs $12,000 a month. That is unbelievable. They won't know until December 28th if she can proceed to the next stage of treatment. Lord, this sounds like such an impossible situation. We come to you, our healing infant King, Jesus Christ. Lord, nothing is impossible to you. In your littleness, you know the things you went through as a child. You were so blessed to have your mom and dad, Mary and Joseph, by your side to tend to all of your needs. Lord, you know these children. And you know their families. And we strongly invoke you to heal the leukemia and enable a way unknown to us to free them of any financial burdens. These are such difficult times. You can do it, Lord. We know you can. Our little baby Jesus and all of our listeners are praying for these precious children. And let's see. We have here an incredible update, a wonderful update. The young man's name is Landon. Do you remember Landon? If you recall, Landon was a three-year-old boy who was having a wonderful time on his third birthday. And that night, he couldn't sleep. He was shaking. He was getting pains all over. So they went to the hospital, and Landon was diagnosed with cancer in his body, 3 years old, that settled in his stomach area. We have been praying for Landon since his great-grandfather, Nino, first gave the sad news to my brother, Michael. And we prayed for Landon on this very program. Well, My brother just got this text from Landon's great aunt Linda, along with Landon's pictures, and the text has the words of Landon's mother, Gabriella. And she says this, "I will never ever forget that awful day. After 40 weeks of chemotherapy and 6 weeks of radiation, Landon is in remission." That is beautiful. "Thank you, everyone, all of you out there who have been praying for my boy. We are so thankful and appreciative. Prayers do work and God is so good. Landon had such amazing doctors and nurses through this. And the best news, just in time for Landon's fourth birthday, Christmas, and the new year." And there is a beautiful photo of Landon sitting in a chair in the hospital or the rehab. And above him is a sign that says, "Way to go, Landon. You did it." Under that sign is a large board with well over 100 gold stars on it. Landon looks so handsome and has a big smile on his face. My friends, what wonderful news. In fact, Landon's great-grandmother, Angela, called my friend Mary DeAngelis, who had put Landon on numerous prayer lines, to tell her the good news. Landon's bone marrow is clear and he is cancer-free. My friends, you are part of this beautiful witness. We interceded to the infant Jesus for Landon under the title of the Infant of Prague. And that is so in keeping with our focus on our baby infant King Jesus today. And what a beautiful connection to Landon's birthday and the holy season of Christmas. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful update? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Beautiful. Now, just before we came on the air today, I received a call from dear friend Dina. Dina's mother, Janet, worked with me in my ministry, in the singing ministry. And Janet, we traveled and went to do different concerts. She was very helpful in so many things that had to get done. Well, Janet right now is taken to the hospital. Janet has a very bad, serious kidney infection. And she also has a urinary tract infection. And this is a very difficult time for us. She does have other issues, which just thinking they're waiting for a room in the hospital. When she's in that hospital, it's not going to be very good for her because she has a difficult time with hospitals. But we pray she can get in that room, get her treatment. And we pray for you, Dina. We pray for you. We know how hard this is for you. You love her so much, as does your sister Missy, and you love her grandchildren. And we just pray through the infant, again, through the infant Jesus. And so wonderful to see how you do take care of her. It's beautiful to see. Janet still knows who I am when we talk on the phone. We share thoughts of being on the road, and we do have a lot of laughter when that takes place. So I thank you, Lord. I thank you that we have friends and relatives. We got the prayer intention just in time before we went on the air, and I was able to send it to family and friends also. So we're praying for you, Janet, and believing that you will be healed. This is so wonderful, so wonderful. So anyway, we have in our opening prayer, I prayed about how blessed we are to place those special nativity sets in our homes. And when we look at them, we're taken to the night that Christ was born. Now, do you know who the first person was who came up with the inspiration to do this? It was St. Francis of Assisi. And it was the year 1223, 11 centuries ago. We're in 2023. This was 1223. Now, since the chapel was too small, Francis thought to say midnight mass outside in the niche of a rock. And he got permission from the Pope to bring in live animals and people to make up a live nativity scene. Now, St. Bonaventure, in his book, The Life of St. Francis, said Francis prepared the manger. He brought the hay and an ox and sheep. And the people from the town of Grecio ran to the scene together. Their voices resounded in psalms of praise. And Francis' eyes were bathed in tears. He was radiant with joy. And Francis chanted the Holy Gospel. He sang the Holy Gospel. And he embraced the infant with both his arms. Now remember, This was a live child, a human child. He embraced the child with both his arms, and he was so moved he couldn't even utter the infant's name for the tenderness of his love. He called him the Babe of Bethlehem. And again we focus on the power of the infant Jesus. Saint Bonaventure said, many miracles occurred that night. Even the hay in the manger that the baby Jesus was lying on miraculously cured all diseases of cattle and many other pestilences. It reminded me of the hay that's in the mangers in our own churches. Don't we reach in and we kind of take a little piece of hay home? We don't steal it, right? We just take a little piece of the hay home to put it in our own nativity sets. So symbolic of our reaching out in prayer to the infant for miracles in our own lives and in the lives of our families. How St. Francis of Assisi loved the baby Jesus. His love of the infant reminded me of another Franciscan, a sister whom we all love, who had her own experience with the child Jesus, Mother Angelica, the foundress of the Eternal Word television network. Now, I shared that story with you on a previous program, and afterwards I saw one of Mother's programs in which she expanded on her love of the child Jesus, and I thought I would continue her thoughts with you. It's so perfect for this time of year. In 1995, Mother Angelica went to Bogota, Colombia. Now, many years before her, a Salesian priest, Father Giovanni Rizzo, from Arenzano, Italy, had found an antique statue of the child Jesus and built a church called the Sanctuary of the Divine Infant. It was completed in 1940, and many people flocked to the church and were experiencing miracles due to their devotion to the Divine Infant that they called El Divino Niño, El Divino Niño, the Divine Infant. Now, Mother did not know this priest. This happened in 1940. She never met him. But it's very interesting because his last name is Rizzo, Father Giovanni Rizzo. And before Mother became a nun, her name was Rita Antoinette Rizzo. Isn't that amazing? They never met each other, but I think somehow they probably have met in the kingdom, huh? Don't you think so? So Mother Angelica went to Bogota, to this sanctuary of the Divine Infant, because she wanted to look to get some Latino Spanish things on EWTN. And she attended Mass there, and while she was praying before the statue, it came alive and turned toward her. The statue came alive. She heard the voice of a young boy speak to her, and he said, "Build me a temple, and I will help those who help you." Well, tears ran down Mother's face, and she changed the plans she had to build a small farm chapel in Hansville, Alabama, where her monastery is. Her sisters live there. In fact, Mother is now buried there in her crypt. So at the time, you remember Mother, how funny she was. Mother said, "I don't even know what a temple is." She said, "I know churches, basilicas, cathedrals." Well, she had the temple built, and it is exquisite. You may have seen it on EWTN. She called it the Shrine of the Blessed Sacrament. And as you walk on the grounds, there is a large statue of the infant Jesus, the Divino Niño, who greets you. In his hand, he is holding a bright red heart, his sacred heart. And the face on the statue is so beautiful that the sculptor himself said he did not do that face on the infant. It was beyond him. I think he was hinting that the Lord did it through him. Now, the nuns who knew Mother, who lived with her, said she would frequently see and talk with the divine child Jesus in the hallways and in her room. They said she loved him dearly and desired that all people see the intimate love God has for them. How? Through devotion to the child Jesus. And Mother's Franciscan friars hold a celebration every year in Hansville, Alabama. They said it's because of the Divino Niño that we have our incredible shrine. Now, Mother related this story, and at the end of her program, Mother said something very profound. She was sitting in a chair, and next to her, on a small table, was a statue of the Divino Niño. And with her right hand, Mother gently reached out her hand and touched the hand of the Divine Infant. And she said this very clearly. She said, "I am going to the infant like I never did before." She told her studio audience to go to the infant in these times. I was so happy to hear Mother say that, because I had given two programs on the infant Jesus of Prague, who was in Bohemia in the Czech Republic. And I repeatedly said at that time that this was not just a devotion for a previous century, but devotion to the infant was so needed today. Just look at the turmoil in the world. The infant of Prague worked wonders, performed miracles in previous centuries, especially during the 30 Years' War and beyond. And people flocked to the infant when it was restored in the Church of Our Lady of Victory. So beautiful, a Father Cyril went back there when it was destroyed and saw it behind the altar. And the infant asked him, again spoke to him and said, to please repair him, fix him. The more you honor me, I will bless you. And to hear Mother Angelica point to the infant in these times, today, really blessed my heart. She looked out over her studio audience while holding the hand of the Divino Niño, and she got such a reassuring look in her eyes while moving her head up and down, assuring her listeners that going to the infant was the way to go. He is waiting for you like an eager child. She was so beautiful. I almost never saw her so serious in my life. She was so into this infant. And that's what I'm telling you today, to go to the infant. There is power in the infant. Power. In fact, she is so thrilled that that infant is outside of that monastery in Hansville, because she feels the face on it is so beautiful that any woman who walks into that shrine and looks at that face, especially if she is contemplating an abortion, any woman who looks at that baby's face would have second thoughts. She would not want to do that. Even Mother spoke with a nurse who actually quit her job because of the babies, the little children who were taken to the ER, who were beaten. She says, you can't imagine the children who are beaten. And the children never squeal on their parents. They'll make another reason. Oh, I fell, and I got hurt. They defend their parents when often they could be very wounded. So Mother and the Divine Infant are so connected. Go to the infant. Now, very shortly, we're going to take a break, and we're going to go to commercial, and I have so much more for you. So many wonderful things, including a beautiful hymn that is also a powerful healing hymn. So we will shortly be going there and also going back. We have more prayer intentions. I'm anxious to get back to them and say those prayers for you and for all of your intentions. Some of these are, gosh, our people suffer. They are so powerful. You look at these and you wonder how people can handle some of these difficulties. We'll share them with you. And I know you're out there. I thank God for you. You're praying for them.
Hello, Father DeLacy here, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to the In His Sign Radio ministry. It was this radio ministry that I listened to when I was going from being a lukewarm Catholic to an engaged Catholic, and this ministry really majorly affected the Catholic that I am today. Kathleen McCarthy in particular has an uncanny ability to speak to the heart, and when she speaks to the heart, speaks with God's love, with His grace, and with His mercy. I can honestly say that I am a better Catholic, a better man of God, and have experienced the healing and joy of the gospel because of the great ministry of Kathleen McCarthy. And so I encourage others to listen to her so that they can experience the beautiful work that God does through her beautiful words.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, we have a few more prayer intentions here. B sent in one for her nephew, Jimmy, his eye. She says he has cancer behind the pupil, and they treat it by putting a metal plate on the eye and cover it, and he has to stay 4 days in residence in the Will's Eye Hospital for the treatment to work. It is the only way to treat that tumor. That is just amazing, isn't it? I never heard of that before. It truly is a concern, but Lord, we pray that this is successful. We pray that the cancer is gone and that Jimmy's sight returns to normal after he goes through this and stays. It says here that he's allowed to be there with his wife. She's allowed to be with him during that 4-day period in residence. So we're going to pray for a complete healing for Jimmy. The eyes are so, so important, aren't they? We pray for you, Jimmy, and the Lord is praying for you. Amen. And so are our listeners here. And also, B has a good friend, a neighbor, whose child is autistic. And B says, the child's mother is so wonderful with her child. She's so patient and loving. And when she was carrying the child, for months she was told to abort the child. She refused to do it. People were even getting angry that she didn't have an abortion. And she said, I will learn to treat this child. Well, the little girl is now 7 years old and is very good at coloring. A fire company in Delaware was running an artistic contest, and this child won first prize. And she was competing against children who did not have autism, so that is amazing. Her mother became a special education teacher, and she has another child who is 9 years old, a little boy, and he loves his sister and enjoys playing games with her. There is such a lesson to be learned here. This woman knew that taking the life of a child is not our decision. She is so blessed that she is a healing present to that child. And that child's brought that family a whole lot of joy. A whole lot of joy. You know, sometimes when I reflect on the night that Christ was born, I think to myself, and maybe you do too, why did Jesus have to come the way that he did? The mysterious way that the Father chose for Jesus to come into the world. the long, dangerous journey that Mary and Joseph had to take. Mary with child, traveling on a donkey over 100 miles in robber-infested country, only to come to her destination and no one to take her in. Her son is born in a stable, among the animals, in the cold of the night, in a crib made of hay. He came with nothing at all. I'd like to play for you a beautiful hymn which touches on that very thought. It is called, "Is This Any Way for a King to Be Born?" And I call your attention to the musical arrangement. It was arranged and played by Richard Rome. Many of you knew Richard. He was my wonderful arranger and accompanist. And today is the 3rd anniversary of Richie's passing. He loved the Lord Jesus and Mary so much. And I loved him so much. He was so wonderful. And I pay tribute to his genius. He delighted in playing this musical hymn, "Is This Any Way for a King to Be Born?"
Is this any way for a king to be born? Is this any way for a king to be born? In the cold of the night, in a crib made of hay, I don't understand why you came that way. The world was your own, you could have had all, but you chose to come with nothing at all. Yes, you chose. Born. Is this any way for a king, a king, a king to be born?
Is this any way for a king to be born? What we call rejected, what we call despised, is precious and holy, is gift in your eyes, hidden from many, known to a few, specially chosen, called forth from you. Is this any way for a king to be born? Saint Alphonsus Liguori, bishop, moral theologian, founder of the Redemptorist Order of Priests. He makes an awesome observation in relation to the way the child Jesus came to us. He said this: if the Redeemer had come to be feared and respected by men, he would have come as a full-grown man and with royal dignity. But because he came to gain our love, he chose to come and to show himself as an infant, and the poorest of infants, born in a cold stable between animals, laid in a manger on straw, without clothing or fire to warm his shivering limbs. Thus would he be born, who willed to be loved and not feared. Is this any way for a king to be born? Yes. Yes, it is. We have a couple more prayer intentions, then we'll continue. We have some good stuff here. And I'm so happy you're out there. I mean, because I feel your prayer support in bringing these thoughts before you. It's so nice to know that that group is out there supporting these people with their prayer intentions. So, so beautiful. So beautiful. I have here, we prayed before on our last program. We prayed for Joan DeBona, who is my first cousin. Joan was on life support. She's been ill, bedridden for a long time. We grew up together, and when I lost both of my sisters, Joan sent me the most beautiful statue of Saint Rita. My entire family has a devotion to Saint Rita. And I was at the National Shrine of Saint Rita in South Philadelphia praying for Joan while Joan succumbed. And her funeral was the day after Thanksgiving. It was sad, but Joan is finally at peace. I miss her terribly. Joan was responsible for me going to the charismatic prayer meetings, which led to my music ministry. Ah, she was very supportive. Eternal rest grant to her, O Lord. Let perpetual light shine upon her. May her soul and the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. And we're going to pray for her brother John, who's been in Inglis House. You heard, we spoke of him too. He's about to have surgery for a growth on his kidney. And we know his sister Joan up there is going to be praying for him. Jeannie, we pray for Jeannie, the sister-in-law of Mary DeAngelis, a faithful listener of his sign network. Well, Jeannie passed away yesterday, and Mary said they were like sisters. Jeannie had dementia, she had the shingles, very painful, and she was unable to eat. She slowly started deteriorating. And Jeannie, after all of your suffering, you are at peace. I know Mary is praying for you and would ask you to pray for her. Eternal rest grant to her, O Lord, let perpetual light shine upon her. Her soul and the souls of the faithful departed, the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. We pray here for Fred, my nephew's intention here. He's praying for the wife of a friend from Bonner, from, Monsignor Bonner, Archbishop Bonner High School. And she is suffering with issues from the stomach, liver, and kidneys. She certainly has a lot there to deal with. So we pray for her. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for her total healing, her total healing. And prayers here for Rose. Rose is 84 years old. Rose has fluid around her heart and lungs. And I'm reading this note, fluid around heart and lungs, only a matter of time. That's what it says on this note. That is something, only a matter of time. We're going to put you in the Lord's hands, Rose. It's the Lord's matter of time, huh? When the Lord chooses to call you, that is his time. And we're going to pray. Maybe get a little more time here, huh? We pray for that fluid. I pray for the Lord's, for the water that comes through the side of Christ, that that fluid is in you and the other fluid around the heart and lungs is moved on, moved out of the way. That's what we're praying for, Lord. That's what we're praying for. Just so many wonderful things here to pray for. Let's see, we have, I delight in talking to you about this part of our program. The infant Jesus is known and honored by many different titles and many feasts all over the world. No matter what country, the fruit of all of these devotions is the same, love. The love that flows for their baby Jesus. And the many miracles that have occurred through the baby Jesus over the years and even over the centuries. Now, earlier I told you the story of the Divino Niño, Divine Infant in Bogota, Colombia. Many of you are familiar with the Infant of Prague. The original statue is in Bohemia in the Czech Republic in the Church of Our Lady of Victory. The Infant of Prague is celebrated in many countries of the world, here in the United States, in Ireland, in France, and all over. Now, I'm from Philadelphia, and every year the Filipino community in Philadelphia perpetuates the devotion to, here's another name, the Santo Niño, the Holy Infant, with festivities and a parade every year in August at the Shrine of Santo Niño, the Holy Infant, in Old St. Augustine Church. This dates back to the tradition in the Philippines in which a festival is held every year in honor of the Santo Niño. There is dancing and singing to celebrate the gift of the statue of the Santo Niño. It was given by Ferdinand Magellan, remember him, huh? Ferdinand Magellan to Queen Juana in the 16th century. And of course, you remember Ferdinand from history, don't you? Magellan was the first person to mastermind the circumnavigation of the globe. And when he was in the Philippines, he gave them that statue. And all of these years later, they still celebrate them. Now, I witnessed this festival and celebration in Philadelphia, in which the faithful sing and dance and carry their own statues of the infant in procession. It's so delightful and heartwarming to see the little children carrying their own little infant in parade with colorful dresses that they have made. They are so proud of their infant Jesus. They're so in love with their Santo Niño. You have to see them parading and dancing and holding and kissing that little baby in their arms. It is so uplifting. Children know children, and a child shall lead them. A child shall lead them. Now, in Rome, Italy, we're going to go to another place. Since 1499, there is another similar statue, another name here. This one is called Santo Bambino, the Holy Child, the Holy Baby. It's revered especially during Christmas and the Epiphany at the Basilica of Santa Maria of the Araceli, of the Altar of the Heavens in Rome. The Basilica of Santa Maria of the Araceli, of the Altar of the Heavens in Rome. Now, this story is delightful. Are you ready? A famous crib is made every Christmas at this church. And throughout the octave of the feast, the little children recite poems in front of the crib. They call the children the infant preachers. They range in age from 4 to 10 years old. They are very expressive. As they are preaching, they give you the sense that they were in Bethlehem at the time of Christ's birth. And they tell us how they heard the angels in the morning. They tell us that they had accompanied the shepherds to the crib. And they looked upon the divine infant in the crib. And they tell us how they had told the Santo Bambino, the little baby, not to cry, don't cry, that they would console him by being good. Is that special? And they do this every year. Pope Leo XIII granted the image of the Santo Bambino a pontifical decree of coronation in 1897. What a beautiful story. I would love to see the children acting this out, acting it out. I think you get the idea. Every country has their special devotion to the infant with their own name. Our brothers and sisters all over the world know the importance of the infant Jesus in their lives. And you can almost hear those statues universally repeating the words of the infant of Prague. The more you honor me, the more I will bless you. And that is what the baby Jesus, the infant king, says to you. You know, so many of our great saints have shown us the way to sanctity. An important part of their walk is their deep devotion to the infant Jesus. That's right. Their love for the infant is so profound, they rejoice when they share with us the infant Jesus' desire to be held. Let's see here. One such person, and you know, you're going to know this one, was the Apostle of Divine Mercy, Saint Maria Faustina, the Polish sister to whom Jesus gave the Divine Mercy devotion. She tells us of an incredible moment that happened in her life. She said, and I quote her, "When Mass began, a strange silence and joy filled my heart. Just then I saw Our Lady with the infant Jesus, and the Most Holy Mother said to me, 'Take my dearest treasure,' and she handed me the infant Jesus. When I took the infant Jesus in my arms, the Mother of God and Saint Joseph disappeared, and I was left alone with the infant Jesus." My friends, can you imagine a moment like that? The Mother of God offering you the baby Jesus, and then she leaves? Such trust. And that wasn't the only time Sister Faustina, Saint Faustina, experienced the love of the infant. On another occasion, she said her soul was flooded with such unspeakable love that she thought she would die under its influence. That was the power of the Holy Infant. My friends, I love you. I love you for being here and sharing in this program. It's especially important to me because it's Christmas, you know? Christmas is a wonderful time of year as we participate in the liturgy and the Holy Eucharist on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. It's an exciting time to participate in so many of the festive things offered to us. But Christmas can also be a difficult time of year. Many people are sad. If you are dealing with medical issues, or if a family member or friend is suffering from a serious illness, if you are out of work, if your finances are limited, if you can't do for your children and give to them the joys and toys of the season, or maybe you have lost a family member and you miss their presence with you, or maybe a few family members, that is so painful. Christmas is not the same without them. Every year, I receive a beautiful Christmas card from the shrine of St. Padre Pio in Bartow, Pennsylvania. One card shared a message that said that from Padre Pio's childhood, he profoundly loved the infant Jesus and everything surrounding the infant's birth. In the Padre's own words, he said, "All church holidays are beautiful, but Christmas has a tenderness, a childish sweetness that takes all my heart." And the words of St. Pio that appear on this year's card that I received are so sensitive and revealing. And I would like to share that with you. Not only this beautiful thought, but this prayer from Padre Pio's heart right to you. He says this: "For the feast of the infant Jesus, my wish for you is that your heart, may be his cradle adorned with flowers. May the infant fill you with all his graces and make you ever more worthy of his caresses." When have you heard that? Ever more worthy of his caresses. And my dear friends, throughout our program today, we spoke of the infant's crib, his crib filled with hay. And Padre Pio speaks of your heart being the infant's cradle adorned with flowers. My, such beautiful sensitivity and love from our dear Padre. And he further says, may the infant fill you with all his graces and make you ever more worthy of his caresses. Padre Pio led a life of great suffering, and he experienced the caresses of the baby Jesus. And his prayer for you this Christmas season is that whatever you may be going through, whatever difficulty is in your life that you experience, those same caresses, as you more and more center on the baby Jesus, are there for you and make him the center of your life. We are in the Christmas season, the Advent and Christmas season. This is such a perfect time of year. People are suffering all over the world, and we pray for everything that is happening in those places in the Middle East, Israel, Hamas, the other countries coming against Israel. We pray for the brutality. We pray for the hostages. We pray for world peace in the Ukraine, in Russia, China, Korea, Iran. We pray against the attacks in our churches and the persecution of Christians. Ruthless torture, more than we can imagine. I heard a priest say that there are over 360,000 victims of persecutions growing in our Catholic churches around the world. We just don't realize how painful all of that is. When we can think for a moment what someone in their little home or their little hut or wherever they are, the fear that may be in their hearts. And we especially are seeing it now, every night in the news. It's painful to watch. Sometimes people say they can't watch it. But my friends, we have the infant of Prague, who carried them through the 30 years wars. That's right. On and off for 30 years, he was there for them. And when he came back fully restored, many, many miracles occurred. People filled the Church of Our Lady of Victory, and they're there today. That original statue is in there today for people to go and pray for healings. God is so good. Hold the baby Jesus in your arms. Let him touch you all over, every part of you that needs healing. God bless you. I love you. And I wish you a Merry Christmas.